In this episode of The Leader Smith, I want to talk about management. I want to talk about why we have management, where it came from, how long we've had management. You'll be surprised by what you hear. Stick around.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so in episode 28, I was talking with Scott Pearson. He's a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And he mentioned something as we were talking about the economics of the coronavirus. And he mentioned how short-sighted we were about management and about working at home. Because, you know, if we roll back the clock before the Industrial Revolution, most people didn't go to the office. And so not going to the office now, while it seems like a jolt, is most of human history. So I want to start there with that as a premise. And we're going to talk about management. It's the second major topic that I talk about in my Managing with Excellence and Integrity class, right after delegation and the division of labor, like where did it come from and that sort of thing. So, you know, let's just take a historical step backwards and think about what life was like before the Industrial Revolution, before, let's say, about 1850. You didn't go to work like we think about going to work, getting up in the morning, driving 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour, or somewhere to a large assembly of people working together on a thing and then clocking out at 5 o'clock and going home. We didn't do that. We worked on the family farm or maybe a small shop or something like that. But it was like it was local to where we were. It wasn't like we're going into the city for the most part. Now, that was some people's experience, but it wasn't until the Industrial Revolution where we started to really the majority of the population started to really organize in that kind of way. And when we did organize, it really sent a lot of disruption because, you know, people would grow up on the family farm with mom and dad basically homeschooling for whatever education that they had. And so now we had to have children sent here and we had to have workers sent there. And as we started to get ourselves organized in this new way, we started thinking in terms of, say, scientific management. This is Frederick Taylor, who came in to these large organizations that are building big things for the first time with things like scientific management, where Frederick Taylor would come in and he would study how long it took workers to do particular tasks, and then he would measure and take, you know, how much time, the steps that take the particular motions, and his idea was that there was one right or one best way to do that. And then the Gilberts came in with their motion studies, and in motion studies, what, you know, they're recording things and trying to find that one best way. But the predominant way that we think about management when we think about management today is because we're thinking about administrative management. And so this comes from Henry Fayol, or Henri Fayol. He was a Frenchman, and he wrote a book called General and Industrial Management. I read it. It was kind of boring, but he broke down all of business into about six categories: technical, commercial, financial, security, accounting, and managerial. So technical was, you know, engineering the product or creating the product. Commercial is the buying, selling, and exchange. Financial is everything related to finance. Security is, you know, making sure everything's protected. Accounting is still accounting. It's just as boring. And then there's managerial. And I want to focus on that aspect because that was a new aspect to business. Because as you were doing large scale things, now you had to manage the people involved. And he broke down management, or the managerial part, into to plan, to organize, to coordinate, to command, and to control. Okay, now just even here is a language to command. I mean, it would be so abhorrent to our ears today. To command? What do you mean? Who are you going to command? Okay, but that's the way that he thought about it. So even as I'm reading those subtopics, you're hearing a very different voice than what you hear about management now, where we're thinking about caring for the workers or taking care of people or leadership or things along those lines. Yes, there's something substantially different. Remember, this is the starting point of management, and management has a very different focus. The focus, now think about in 1850 something, machines are all the rage. And we're thinking about machines like as a metaphor for how things work in society. And so we're going to think about organizing ourselves with machine-like precision in order to make sure that everybody is in their proper place doing their proper thing. So here are Fayol's 14 general principles of management. And I'm going to go over each of them and talk about their usefulness, particularly in a time. So the first one is division of work. Now, division of work is no surprise. He got that from Adam Smith. And here's what he says about the division of work. Quote, "The object of division of work is to produce more and better work with the same effort." Okay, same thing today. That's exactly what we're trying to do. That's division of labor. And we're trying to, you're doing your job and I'm doing mine and somebody else is doing theirs. Okay, that's important. Second, now this is going to be a larger recurring theme. Number two, authority and responsibility. Authority is the right to give orders and the power to exact obedience. Okay, if your manager started talking about exacting obedience today, you'd be like, I'm polishing my resume and going somewhere else. But you know that is something that you need. You need to be able to give a legitimate request and have that fulfilled. I was going to say a legitimate command, but even now, I like there's something about saying give a command that I kind of react to, and I think that's the spirit of the time now. Number three, discipline. Okay, so no, we're talking about authority and responsibility, and then we're talking about discipline. Discipline is, in essence, obedience, application, energy, behavior, and outward marks of respect. And even that they would put in, like, you have to respect. It's hard for a modern ear to hear because we like to think about how individualistic we are and how different we are and those kind of things. Okay, so discipline is that, but it is necessary. Everybody needs to be working toward the same goal. Next one, in working toward the same goal, unity of command. An employee should receive orders from one superior only. Now, beyond the idea of command, which is what you probably heard as you were listening to that, the unity part is what he's emphasizing here. And that is that, and this is a very good principle in management, that everyone should have one boss. Now, some organizations do it differently. Like if you're in a matrix organization, you have multiple bosses that you report to for various projects. But here, we're not thinking about like almost like a consulting business or something where different people are working on different projects. No, they're think more like assembly line, because that's the context in which he's operating. So if you're on an assembly line, everybody reports to just one boss and they work all the way up the chain, and that's the way the hierarchy is formed. And that makes a lot of sense. The general concept of everybody having one boss is actually a good concept, but we just have to understand what we're thinking of in the time. Okay, unity of direction, similar to the unity of command. Quote, "This principle is expressed as one head and one plan for a group of activities having the same objective." And so, you know, the idea is that we all want to be pulling the same direction. And that's not a bad idea. There's something valuable about that. I think that still applies in whatever we're doing at work today. Number six, subordination of individual interest to the general interest. Now, this one is the one that rings most true to me as far as where we are today and the way that we have to be thinking about things, because that's essentially what leadership is supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be leading people in such a way that we're all thinking more about the organization than our little place or our little corner in it in order to do the best by the organization. So here's the quote. Subordination of individual interest to the general interest, and the line for that was the quote, the interest of one employee or group of employees should not prevail over those of the concern. Even the language is antiquated, but of course this is turn of the 20th century that it's written. Number seven, remuneration of personnel. That means pay. Quote, remuneration of personnel is the price of services rendered. Okay, we still want to have pay, no problem. Number 8, centralization. Quote, the issue of centralization versus decentralization is a matter of finding the optimum degree of centralization for the particular concern. Quote, okay, now, so centralization is good and bad. It's a double-edged sword. Decentralization is good and bad. It's a double-edged sword. To the degree that you centralize, you can make unified decisions. And you can make that command at the very top very instantly, and then but it takes time to ripple through the organization. The alternative to that is that in a decentralized organization, the person on the front line, maybe 8 levels down, is empowered to do whatever they believe is the best thing. But that means that you could be pulling kind of different directions. The trade-off there is speed of doing the thing that that department needs, as opposed to the unity of the entire organization. Now, I tend to lean toward the decentralized side of things because I see the agility to be far more important than the command. You can make a quick decision from the top, but by the time it filters down to the bottom, it is not quick. It could take a long, long time, but theoretically, it would be unified. The danger there is that it takes a long time, and the second danger is that if you make the wrong decision at the top, the whole organization goes wrong, as opposed to just small decisions all over. Okay, so that is centralization. Scalar chain, S-C-A-L-A-R, is not a word that you hear very often, but scalar chain means line of authority. This quote, the scalar chain is a chain of supervisors in the firm ranging from the ultimate authority to the lowest rank. So it's kind of, think about the military and the military, you know, the colonel tells the captain, who tells the lieutenant, who tells the sergeant, who tells the corporals and private. So think more like that. That's what's going on. And remember, that would be a one of the few working models that they've had other than the church. They would have had, you know, the bishops, the archbishops, the bishops, the priest, and so on down the line, right? Or the military as examples on which to create these principles for business. Okay, number 11, equity. Quote, the desire for equity and equality of treatment must always have been taken into account in management's dealing with employees. Now, don't take the modern view of equity, meaning equality of outcomes, that is pervasive right now. That's not what it's talking about. It's just talking about treating people generally similarly. Okay. Number 12, stability of tenure of personnel. Quote, time is required for an employee to get used to new work and succeeding in doing it well. So we understand that it takes a while for somebody to get good at their job, and that's what it means here. And so you want to have people doing their job and be experienced. Number 13, initiative. Propose plans and take active role in their implementation. Initiative is actually something that we've always understood as somebody who's, you know, hard driving and will, you know, just take the horse by the reins and make it happen. That's always been a good understanding. And then 14, esprit de corps. So esprit de corps is something equivalent to morale. Quote, union among the personnel of the concern exemplified by harmonious working relationships and a commitment to common goals. So that's esprit de corps. Okay, so that's a French term, but again, it means something like morale. Most of what you hear here is kind of off to the modern ear, but remember, this is how we're thinking about it for the early management thinker, as we're just first organizing, trying to get people from all over, coming from their local farms or whatever, to come work in this one organization. Let's say it's a factory where we're on an assembly line. We want everybody in their place. We want them reporting to one boss. We want them recognizing the lines of authority and not just bucking it and going over there instead of working here where they're supposed to be. And so that's the origin of management. Now, again, that's going to give us these categories of to plan, to organize, to coordinate, to command, and to control, which any modern textbook will boil down to planning, leading, organizing, and controlling as the four functions of modern management. So that's the background. Now, the problem is it hasn't, and I don't really like the word evolved, but it hasn't evolved enough over time where we've gotten away from the constraints enough where leadership has really gotten the chance to thrive, because leadership should be the core of this. If you get the leadership part right, the other parts fall into place. And I'll explain that later on. But if you just get the leadership right, then so many other good things happen. And so that's something that we're going to talk about another time. This brings us to our quotation for a contemplation for today, and that comes from J.D. Rockefeller. He said this: the secret of success is to do the common thing uncommonly well. Hey, thanks for your time, and thanks for listening to the Leadersmith podcast. I'm always talking about things related to leadership and trying to help you become a better leader. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing to the show. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.